Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We're going to look at the whole chapter, but we want to, just as a springboard to get your mind in the right direction, look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen this day, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Verse 30, Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. I want to preach this morning a message entitled, The Battle is the Lord's. The children of Israel, prior to this chapter, had just witnessed the strong arm of the Lord in delivering them from the bondage and the shackles of Egypt. They had seen God do miraculous things on their behalf as He sent plague upon plague upon the nation of Egypt. God had so worked on their behalf that on the night of the Passover, the Egyptians not only allowed them to go, but they sent them on their way with great riches, with spoils. The Israelites had been redeemed out of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. They were now bound for the promised land of Canaan, or so they presumed. However, there were some lessons that the Israelites had to learn. Even though they had been redeemed and set free from the bondage of Egypt and from the dominion of Pharaoh, they were not exempt from difficulties and from battles. And so it's true in the lives of God's people today. You and I that are saved by the grace of God have been set free. We're at liberty in Christ by faith in what He did for us. But we're not exempt from spiritual warfare against sin and the devil. Just as the Israelites had to trust completely in the blood of the Passover lamb in order to be saved, they also had to trust in God for victory in the battles that yet awaited them. And so it is with us. We're saved, yes, but we don't need to live defeated lives. The victory is with God and in depending upon Him. We trust the Lord for salvation. The just shall live by faith. We also must trust Him for victory in the battles of life that await us week by week, year by year. The reason why we often are defeated and discouraged is because we're not casting ourselves entirely upon Christ. We're leaning to our own understanding. We need to learn that we can have no confidence in the flesh, that we can't lean on our own understanding and reasoning. We got to come to the place that the Israelites did and understand that the battle is the Lord's. And if we're going to win, it's because He's working with us and in us according to His good pleasure. We got to trust in Him for strength and victory. If it were any other way, we're so vain and so proud, we'd be taking the credit. The Bible says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now the battle set forth there in verses 1 through 12. Look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp between Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now what do you see here in these verses? It was God that directed Israel to encamp with their faces toward the Red Sea and with the wilderness on either side of them and Pharaoh and his armies to the back of them. It was God who placed them in a very precarious position where there would be no human means of deliverance. They couldn't fly. They're surrounded by the wilderness. Here's the Red Sea. Here's Pharaoh. They don't have any place to go. They were put into a position where only a supernatural act of God Almighty could deliver them. And it's interesting. The Hebrew names where they camped have significant meanings. Pihahiroth, or whatever it is. That's the Buffalo Creek rendering. It means, interestingly enough, the place of liberty. Isn't that neat? And Migdol means tower or fortress. Do you see how differently God views the circumstances of life? What the Israelites thought was their doom, God says, this is your place of liberty. You're going to be trusting in your tower and fortress and see a miraculous thing take place. And that's what God wants us to see in our lives. That even though the circumstances of life, humanly speaking, may be against us on every side, as we trust in our tower and lean on our fortress, it's a place of liberty, of freedom, as we trust in Him. God places us in circumstances to show Himself strong in order to increase our faith. What happens when God gets you through a distressful circumstance and you know He's the one that brought you through it? Doesn't it increase your faith and enable you, as you face the next difficulty, to reflect and remember, man, God really worked for me. He helped me through that last time. You know what? I believe He'll help me through this time as well. Now, look at verse 5 through 9. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Notice that. Pharaoh and the Egyptians were once lords over Israel. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt. Now, you get this? 600 chariots that were specially chosen. They must have been the big daddies. And then all the chariots of Egypt behind them. I mean, this is a war party that's coming against Israel. And captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside the place of liberty. Before Baal-Zephon. All right, now. Pharaoh was moved to change his mind and to pursue after the Israelites. His aim was to bring them back into captivity, into bondage, into service to him and Egypt. Now, if you know your types in the Bible and similes, you know that Pharaoh is a type of Satan, and that the Egyptians are a type of the world and of sin that seek to entrap us. Notice something, redeemed child of God. It is always the aim of the devil, of the world, and of your flesh to pursue you and bring you back into captivity. That's the aim of our enemies. Pharaoh came upon Israel with all of his might, all the chariots of war, with captains over every one of them, with soldiers, with great force. And his aim was to bring them back into captivity. Aren't you thankful? You that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, even though Satan and all the hordes of hell and all of sin and temptation and all of the world may be against you, and you hear those chariot wheels of sin turning furiously, God Almighty will never allow you to go back into captivity. You've been set free forever from the bondage of sin. But you've not been set free from the flesh, from the temptations of the devil. See? Now, try to put yourself in this story. One moment, the Israelites having a big camp out. The beauty and the tranquility of the Red Sea was before them. They probably heard the birds singing. The wilderness in the Bible, it comes in various forms. Sometimes it's a desert. Other times it's wooded areas. But here they are, I mean, really hidden from the rest of the world, right at the brink of the Red Sea. And then all of a sudden, with the force of that many chariots, probably miles away, they could hear a rumbling. And as time passed, I'm sure that the noise of the chariots grew louder and louder, and the closer that they got, the earth probably began to tremble just a bit. Here they had gone from a place of tranquility, of protection, and now they hear the chariots of war in the distance. And Israel, I'm sure they began to get a little nervous. At first they didn't know what it was. They probably sent a scout to look. He comes back and says, "You're not going to believe this, man." But Pharaoh and the chariots of war are approaching. And then in the distance, they could see. Here comes Pharaoh and the soldiers. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. They didn't lift them up to God. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses. You think, well, what'd they cry out to the Lord? Oh, no! Why me? Same things we do when difficulties are approaching. And then they went to the preacher. You know what they said to the preacher? It's all your fault. We're in the state we're in. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? What are they saying? We told you so. We told you this is just the way it's going to work out. Some preacher you are. That we may let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Here's Israel's response to their troubles. Now, mind you, think about what they'd already seen. God had sent plague after plague judging Egypt's gods. God, they had seen God Almighty rescue them and deliver them. They were the recipients of the riches of Egypt. As the Egyptians told them to go on, get out there and worship. Just get away from us. What a miracle. But when trouble came, their eyes were fixed on Pharaoh rather than God. They became sore afraid and troubled about their circumstances. They began to lift up their voices in complaining and murmuring against the preacher in spite of what God had already done. They had faint hearts. They were focused on the circumstances rather than the one who's in control of all circumstances. And the longer I live, the more I see just how much of an Israelite I really am. Because you know what? I've been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. I've been set free. I've been forgiven. I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within, but I have a tendency when troubles come to look at them rather than to God. To focus on circumstances rather than in the sovereign, majestic, Holy One who is my fortress. Their unbelief brought about some carnal reasonings. Here's what happens when you get your eye off the one who controls everything and you begin to think to yourself, just like the Israelites, your carnal reasoning. They told Moses, they said, listen, preacher, we were a whole lot better off in Egypt. At least we were living there. You should have just left us alone. You know what? You get your eyes off the Lord. And you start reasoning contrary to the Word of God. Start leaning to your own understanding. That's exactly what the Israelites did. And what happened? They lost their peace, their joy, their confidence in God. They were leaning to the flesh. To be carnally minded is death. You separate yourself from God. You know what? The Bible teaches us that the only way that you're going to have peace in time of turmoil and difficulty is not to focus so much on the problematic circumstances you find yourself in. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Paul could say, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But it doesn't work that way as long as your focus is on you, your problems, and difficulties. Now verse 13 and 14. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Man, what a leader this guy is. Do you see the expression of faith demonstrated by Moses? He believed God. He believed God was going to deliver them from the Israelites. And before the Red Sea ever closed up upon Pharaoh and his chariots, Moses said with great faith, "You see the Israelites that are coming to try to take you into captivity, and they're dressed for war, and their chariots are rumbling furiously. The ones that you are all afraid of, from on this day, you're never going to see them again. Because God's going to judge them." Man, I wish I had the faith of Moses. You know what his counsel was? And you know the patience of Moses. To be able, and this is the mark of a great leader. Here they are in the midst of really disastrous circumstances as far as humanly viewing this whole thing. And he had the faith and the wherewithal and the ability to take charge and say, "Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Mark of a great leader. To bring order out of chaos. To bring faith out of failure. His counsel was, don't do anything, but look to God, who's going to show himself strong on your behalf. Moses knew, because God had promised that God wanted Israel in the promised land eventually, that they were his chosen nation, that they would not be in Egypt forever. You know, Moses knew that God wanted Israel to come to an end of themselves, to a place where they could only look to God for deliverance. You ever been brought to that place in your life where there's nowhere else to look but to God? That's where God wants us every day. Now, sometimes, because of our carnal reasonings and because of our stubbornness, He may bring these kind of circumstances into our lives to where the only place we can look is to God. What he did to the Israelites. He knew they needed greater faith in him. They had to look for him for deliverance. He says, "Moses, fear not. Just like God said to Abram back in Genesis 15 and verse 1, the first fear not of the Bible, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward." Hey, if God is for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors. Yes, it looks like all the Pharaoh's war chariots are going to overcome us, but we're a majority with God. And he says, "Stand still." All right? Now here's where I'm different from Moses. You know what I would have said probably? "Fear not, but everybody gather up some rocks. Get some sticks, man. We got to fight this thing out." You know? He tells them to stand still. If it would have been me, I probably would have said, "Run for the hills, man. Every man for himself. You know, dive into the ocean and try to hold your breath till they leave." Moses says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Just as you saw him do a great work in delivering you from Egyptian bondage, now you have to do the same thing in discipleship. Only God can work in us the victory. You come to some difficulty in your life. Here's the counsel of the ages that'll get you through. Cease from your own carnal reasonings. Cease from all your fleshly props. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Put all your trust in Him. Put all your dependence upon Him to seal the victory. Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you." Man, what a promise. Isn't that great? I remember when I was a kid, and we'd always, you know, we'd have fights and stuff in our neighborhood. And man, I was always glad to know that Timmy Martin was on my side. He was tougher than a pine knot. And man, me and him, we were best buds, and he was a good fighter. And as long as I was with him, I wasn't worried too much about anything. And you know what? God is much greater than any man. Listen, the Lord will fight for you. The battle is the Lord's. You cannot lose with God. He's the one that has all power in heaven and in earth. Are you saved? Do you know Him? No matter what difficulty is facing you today, the Lord shall fight for you. Whether it's loneliness, financial difficulty, hardships beyond your control, sickness, whatever it is, rest on this promise. Dear child of God, the Lord will fight for you. He loves you. He's your protector. He'll get you through it. One way or the other. The Lord will fight for you. And notice, ye shall hold your peace. Now quickly, let's look at the victory. He told them to stand still. Now he tells them to go forward. Once faith is secured, now it's time to walk in that faith. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Once the object of faith has been secured, now it's time to walk. Now, where does God tell them to walk? This is what is so amazing to me. This is one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. Go walk in the wilderness and hide behind some trees. Is that what he said?
He said, go forward. You know where forward was? Into the Red Sea. The ocean. You know, waves, deep ocean, where you drowned. God said, go forward.
But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. All right? So here's the instruction. Moses, go tell him to go forward. What I want you to do is take that rod, just lift it out over the Red Sea. And I'm going to split the waters. I have never seen anything like that. Have you? Wouldn't it be amazing to have been there that day and to see Moses, this mighty man of God and faith, do what God said, and all of a sudden see the ocean just begin to part? You ever seen the ocean? How mighty, how powerful it looks, how unending it looks, and all of a sudden you see this guy saying, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, put his rod out, and all of a sudden, man, the ocean just parts. And you see the Israelites looking around, and you see the first one going, well, and all of a sudden, man, they're running and they're going through, and I can just see those kids, man, just taking their hands and through the water, you know, on each side. Look what, man, God's delivering us. Kicking up dust. Running through the Red Sea. Man, what a mighty work God did. If He can do that for those Israelites, don't you think that He can part the Red Seas of your life? Man, I didn't know that thing popped up there. That's dangerous when you got a preacher like me. Fall right on his head. Listen, if He can do that for the Israelites, He can do mighty things in your life. He can deliver you. It's His promise. But you know what God did? He put Himself from that time on, verse 19 and 20, between the Israelites in the form of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was a source of protection for them. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. What was it that was separating them from the world, from Satan? The presence of God. And it's the presence of God that keeps you safe. And that protects you from sin and Satan and the world. Verse 21 and 22, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Notice, it says dry ground. God not only split the sea, but He dried up the bed of the sea. Now, have you ever been somewhere where water has just been there? It's mucky, isn't it? Kind of nasty. And you tend to get stuck in it. Do you know what God did? He removed every difficulty. He made the land dry. Now, can you imagine Pharaoh and his chariots? All right, they've got up to the brink of the Red Sea. They see walls of water on either side. They see Israelites by the thousands walking in the middle of the sea on dry ground. The Israelites get to the other side. Pharaoh puts his chest out. He says, "Boys, if they can do it, so can we. Come on, Egyptians." And so you know what Pharaoh and all of his armies did? They followed in the path of the Israelites. The waters that God had used to deliver Israel were the same waters He used to judge and drown Pharaoh. How amazing is that? All the Israelites on the other side of the Red Sea, they're all looking, and even though God had done a great thing, I imagine there's still a little fear in their heart. Man, Pharaoh's coming. Look! He's coming after us! And then they see those walls of water just coming over with great power and vengeance and judgment. And the next thing they see is Pharaoh and all of his chariots drowned, floating up. All their enemies had been destroyed just like God promised. God had conquered on their behalf. Israel had witnessed the saving, preserving, powerful hand of God. And you know what followed? Exodus 15. We find them praising God for His power and His greatness. Now, that's not the whole end of the story. If we stopped right there, we'd think, man, I tell you, from that point on, Israel probably did everything God said, and I doubt if they ever murmured again. Isn't that the way we'd look at it? That's the way you'd think. I mean, they had just seen a miracle that was beyond their wildest dreams. Sad thing is, you read the rest of Exodus and Numbers, and you find out that the Israelites complained all the time. They murmured. They were unbelieving. Let's not you and I make the same mistake. God has done some great things in our lives in saving us, in keeping us, protecting us, preserving us, giving us a good church, good families. When difficulties come that are beyond your control, rather than murmuring, learn to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Go to Him. Focus upon His grace and His love. And even if things may not turn out just the way you think they should, at least be secure in this as a child of God. He loves you and cares for you more than anyone in this world. Remember, the battle is the Lord. Trust Him, not only with your soul,
but with your life. That's the only way you're going to conquer and defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil.